You can follow our gospel reading on page 882. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
We read from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they're retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who've not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear Lord, we are here this morning to meet with you. The doors are not locked, but sometimes our hearts and minds are. Breathe upon us your Holy Spirit, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it? We get teased about observing 40 days of Lent, and what are you going to give up? Will it be chocolate? Maybe. What was it? I don't know. But we don't get teased so much as Christians, do we, for keeping 40 days of Eastertide. But there are 40 days up till Ascension, and it's equally an important time in our lives. And what is it for? Well, if we've put any energy into Lent this year, let me suggest what we might do with Eastertide. I've got the great joy of preaching, actually. I preached on Easter Sunday morning in the early service,
And I took as my text the verse in Isaiah, I've called you by name and you're mine. Do you remember in the Easter appearances, Jesus often talked to people by name? Mary. In the garden, and suddenly Mary Magdalene's whole world turned upside down. He was there, and he was there for her. Peter. Although Jesus didn't call him Peter, he didn't call him the rock. He called him Simon because Peter, he wanted to help him from being Simon and denying to being Peter again, the foundation, the rock. And much later on in the story, we'll be reading in Acts about Saul, who was trying to stamp out Christianity, lock, stock and barrel, arresting people, having them tried and having them put to death. And then he's stopped in his tracks by somebody who says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul's life is changed. He comes from Saul to Paul, so to speak. And so it goes on. Peter and Paul witness in Rome as they're both crucified. Polycarp, a century later, says how he would rather follow Jesus because he's alive than follow any earthly master. So the story of Augustine, the story of Luther, Cranmer, Wesley, Wilberforce, Elizabeth Fry, Shaftesbury, Newton, Faraday, scientists, Florence Nightingale, Barnardo, me, you. So what does happen when Jesus comes to us? One of the joy... Oh, golly, I've left my watch over there.
Thank you.
That was dangerous, wasn't it? I don't know when I started. It's my excuse. One of the lovely things when you start in the ministry is that you can go and visit lots of people. And I remember visiting a lady called Mrs. Chaffee. When I began my ministry, you didn't... weren't impudent with Christian names. No idea what her Christian name was. She was Mrs. Chaffee. And she lived in Mysore Road. She was an older lady. And she loved just sharing her stories. And she'd had a very frightening experience. She'd been in her house for quite a long time as a tenant, and so she was on a very low rent. And her landlord sent the bullies round to her. And they tried to scare her. They tried to scare her out of her home to go somewhere else, so that they could whisk up the rent. And she was a lovely Christian. And she said, I was scared stiff. But I looked at them and I just knew he was with me. And she knew that Jesus was stronger than the bullies. And they went away and left her. It's like the disciples, isn't it? Behind locked doors, scared stiff. And you notice in that gospel, Jesus says to them three times, peace be with you. Peace, peace, peace. Because that was his gift. That's what the resurrection would mean to them. It was peace with God. It was peace with him, of course. It was peace with one another. It was peace and calm, because he breathes the Spirit into them, to do whatever he required. And Thomas. Thomas is called by us Thomas the Doubter. But I don't think he was. He was a twin. That's his nickname, isn't it? Why is he just the twin? Not one of the twins. I wonder whether he'd lost his twin. And maybe in some rather painful way, through illness or something. And he wasn't going to trust somebody else's words. He wanted to know for himself that Jesus was really the Jesus he'd come to love and follow. And Jesus, of course, knows that. In fact, Jesus says that he knew he wasn't there last time he appeared. And so he says, come on, look at my hands, hold them. Look at my side, look at the wound. Put your finger there if you want to. It really is me. And out of what we might call doubt comes the strongest, most powerful expression of faith, I think, almost in the New Testament about Jesus. My Lord and my God. If you get the JWs at your door, ask them to look that text up. My Lord and my God. Wonderful. I've called you by name, and you're mine. That's Isaiah 43. And so today, I thought, well, we're given 40 days of Easter, and the disciples, they're real 40 days, aren't they? Because the disciples had that long period up to the ascension, having various encounters with Jesus and pooling them, telling them about what had happened one to another. Sometimes it's large numbers, 500, sometimes it's individuals, Mary or whoever. But they pool those experiences. And I think Eastertide for us is to pool our experiences of the living Lord. He knows we're unique, and so he usually comes to us in ways that are suited to our personality and our experience and what we can trust. But sometimes it's a great shock when he comes to us. For Cleopas and his friend walking to Emmaus, it was to give them a sort of friendly, nudging Bible study. That was a surprise. And then as he broke the bread and blessed it, do you remember Caravaggio's picture? And they knew it was him. Why they didn't know before then, we don't know. That's the mystery. But there's often mystery in our meetings with Jesus, and that's why our eyes need to be so open. He may be anywhere. He may be in anybody. He may lead us into difficult times. But if he does, like with Thomas, we don't know why Thomas wasn't there with them, but it resulted in that marvellous revelation. My Lord and my God, I could follow you to the ends of the earth. And the tradition is that Thomas actually went to India and founded the church there through God. 300 heard Peter preaching his first sermon. We had part one today. And because I'm preaching next week, I'm going to leave the Acts bit perhaps till next week and look at it. But through Peter's preaching, 3,000 responded. It's all the seed Jesus has been sowing over 3 years suddenly comes together, and this is the moment. For the centurion, it was meeting Jesus and trusting that if Jesus said something, it would happen. For David Suchet, read your Radio Times, it was when he started reading Romans in a hotel room in California. And he said, I've never read anything like this. For myself, I was taken by a friend to a Norman church in Farley, near Wallingham. A very, very plain church. Four walls and not much windows, being Norman. But still with 1,000 years of worship in that place. Another wonderful moment I had was on holiday. And I was doing sort of holiday duty for the friend. We were swapping vicarages or something. And I had to take an evening communion. And he said, you'll find the chalice in the vestry, in a box. And there it was in the box, with its key in the box. And I opened it up. There was an Elizabethan chalice. 1580-something or other. Why it wasn't in a bank, and why the key was in the box, I don't know. But Praise the Lord, it wasn't. But I was so moved. Here I was touching a cup from which hundreds and hundreds of Christians over about five centuries had been receiving the wine that is the blood of Christ. A friend of mine went to Billy Graham. He was a student at Manchester, and Billy Graham came in 1961. Only he didn't come. Everybody gathered at Man City rugby football ground, and Billy Graham was ill. So if you went, you didn't hear him preaching, you heard his deputy. But that didn't matter. What you discovered was you heard Christ. And you heard Christ's invitation. But it was in Manchester. And it poured. Poured and poured. So if you were going to make a decision and go forward and talk to somebody about it, you had to brave very wet Manchester rain. But he did. And I met with him for a while after that. I don't think I was with him that evening. And we just read different bits of the Bible that I thought were very important and prayed together. And I had such joy because probably 30 years on, I was at a conference and the Archbishop of Canterbury was speaking. We were celebrating the final Eucharist of the meeting and we were put into groups. I turned round and there was Chris Hardy. He'd been a church warden all those years, I think. He was going strong because he'd met Jesus in the rain. And so on it goes. You can think of dozens and dozens of examples. But the thing is, they're all so different. But we as St. John's must be a welcoming, living, loving community if from us things are going to grow. And Easter is all about sharing your experience. I had one terrible such experience. For a while, when I was a student, I met with brethren Christians. And the one I met with in Cambridge was above a hat shop, so we always called it the hat shop. But when I was on holiday, I was directed to Lewisham High Street above a furniture store. And this group of Christians met above. And I went over in the afternoon on my bike. And I had to trundle my bike up lots of steps. And then just before you came to the floor where they were meeting, there was a sort of cupboard thing under the stairs. So I put my bike there and went up. And as I went into the wrong room. And I found the wrong lot of brethren. And they were a group who weren't meeting with this one because they didn't agree with them. And I should have been in this one, and I was in that one. So I quickly found myself in the right room. And after the fellowship or Bible study or whatever it was, I think, we had tea. Tea is part of being one of the brethren. And food, in fact, general. And it was explained to me gently that there was a lady, Mrs. X, who was in that group, and her two sons, but Mr. X was in that group. And I was a bit stunned by that bit of information, and I left. And I came downstairs, and I went to get my bike, and it was very dark under the stairs, and I was getting my bike out, and I heard crying. And I suddenly realised there was a figure hidden right in the recess under the stairs. And it was the older of the two sons. And he was weeping because Dad was in that one and Mum was in this one. St. John said, people shall know we're Christians because we love one another. And that's the challenge to us. We must be the Easter people. Because he calls us by name and we're his. And therefore there's peace among us, his peace. So, what's your story? What's mine? I've shared some of mine. Some of them are a bit strange. Jan had an inspiration this Easter and thought it would be very good if we had an Easter egg hunt in our little cul-de-sac. because we had some new families come with children. So this was marvellous, and it was just like Manchester City, and it rained. But we had our Easter egg hunt, and we all crammed into our little front room. Next door, next door, next door. It was lovely. And we just got to know one another in a way we hadn't before. I've only got a little bit of experience. You've only got a little bit of experience. But Jesus took little bits of bread and fed 3,000. I think that's what Easter's about. One beggar telling another beggar where there's bread. It's a bit low.